All right, Chris and Ryan kicking into hour number two. Stand by. Phone lines currently on lockdown, though. But coming up, another chance to get qualified for the Dr. Pepper Ultimate Survivor Pick'em Contest. We have 16 in so far out of 23. So don't miss your chance to be a part of it. And then battle it out this season for tickets to the SEC Championship game and $250 in straight cash, homie. All courtesy of Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the SEC, and Papa John's Pizza in Athens and Watkinsville. But first, it is time for today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Ryan, you may fire when ready.
Luke Del Rio was named the starting quarterback today at Florida.
Correct.
Right now, I want you to, in order from best to worst, rank the SEC East quarterback situations as we stand today on August 18th.
All right, the best is Tennessee with Josh Dobbs. After that, boy, this is tough now. You know, after the only other two schools in the – well, I mean, Florida now knows – there, so you've got Barker and Locke, and Vandy knows theirs.
And but, Shermer, right.
Yeah. I mean, boy, after Dobbs, it's almost like a six-way tie for second
last.
Or seventh. Yeah, I mean, however you want to look at it.
Well, you probably put McElwain at the bottom, right? Because he's a true freshman starting.
Yeah.
Okay, so
even though I've read wonderful things about him.
So we can work from there.
All right.
So, like, process of elimination, I feel like we could put...
I mean, we're talking, you know, the thing with Luke Del Rio, though, is Florida's starting quarter, the University of Florida, an elite recruiting powerhouse, is starting an Oregon State transfer.
So do you want to put him sixth?
The problem I'm having is like, okay, so I haven't seen McElwain and Del Rio play, but I did see Drew Locke play last year. So I'm not sure that even though I've never seen McElwain or Luke Del Rio, that they could be worse than Drew Locke. All right, we'll just true freshman, seventh, McElwain. Luke Del Rio.
Okay, sixth.
Sixth. I'm going to go Locke at Missouri. I mean, Locke was their starting quarterback, and I know he didn't start the entire season. I'm not sure exactly when he took over, but just remind you with Missouri last year, they had two games they played. The final score was 9-6. They had three other games where they kicked only field goals. Three times they scored 3 points, and that was it. And they had another game they lost 19-8. So they scored 6 touchdowns in the SEC last year, or 8. Georgia threw 6 touchdowns, yeah. They basically averaged like 1 a game. So I'll go Locke next. Locke is just ahead of the two guys we haven't seen.
So he's 5.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with Vandy's Shermer.
4, okay.
Then I'm going to put Barker in there.
Wow.
And then I'm going to take Georgia. I guess I'm going to take Georgia's quarterback situation second, but I mean it's almost – I mean it's – I mean, but that don't consider that a ringing endorsement for Georgia's quarterback situation.
Right.
Because my preference would be just to tie the other 6 schools for 7th.
Okay.
Yeah. After – the clear favorite, which is Tennessee with Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs, everyone else.
Yeah, but pretty much. As of now, yeah. Can you really make a convincing case either way?
No. Yeah.
For, you know, one of those other situations over the other?
No, it's just more that either you do the argument that, look, I've seen Drew Locke. He wasn't great, so I'm putting him here. Or I've seen him. I feel like I know what he could be, and he could be better under Josh Heupel. And his first year as the offensive coordinator, or you say, like, I don't know what Brandon McElwain is, so I'm just going to listen to everything I've read or heard, and I'm going to put him second.
But, even with your case for Drew Locke, I'd still put Georgia's quarterbacks ahead of him because I've seen Lambert play and Ramsey, and what I've seen out of them is better than what I saw at a lock last year, and maybe Georgia can get more out of either one of those guys with a new offensive coordinator too and Jim Chaney. So I think Georgia, just based on that, still has to be ahead of Mizzou.
That's great.
Also, Missouri's leading returning receiver is, I believe, out for like 6 to 8 weeks. Nate Brown, he got hurt yesterday. They do have that Alabama transfer, though. Chris Black. You know, the one Alabama didn't block? They have him. But Missouri's got, not that their offense needs guys getting hurt, but they do have an injury they're dealing with their receiver. I think I saw he was, I don't think it was the season, but I think it's like 6 to 8 weeks with Brown. All right. SEC East quarterbacks, what a division. That's what I'm saying. If Tennessee doesn't win it, what do you do with Butch Jones? I guess nothing, though, because I don't think Dave Hart's going to make a move, and then they're going to hire a new AD, and some coach is really going to be, you know, they're going to have coaches knocking down their door to take that job when they know they're going to have a new boss at some point.
Right. Speaking of Butch Jones, and there's been a lot of talk about conference expansion, this, that, and the other, we're 2 weeks away from the season starting. But my question for you is, what will be different in 2017? So a year from now, what are the headlines and storylines we're going to be talking about? New coaches, new teams in different conferences.
Yeah, I mean, all of the above for sure.
But is there one, like, specific that you would say, a year from now, this coach will not be there and X will be here, or
all right,
this player will be the Heisman Trophy front runner?
The Big 12 is going to expand.
To 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to invite a team from Florida and, like, Connecticut.
Okay.
Because they're thinking only of TV markets.
Okay.
And I, the team from Florida being, I guess, UCF or South Florida.
Or USF, right.
New coaches. Oh, there'll be plenty of new coaches. In the SEC, I mean, Kevin Sumlin could be gone. I don't think Butch Jones is going to be gone now anymore. Malzahn could be gone. But with this Dave Hart story, again, I think he's safe now for at least a year.
Do you have any replacements for these?
You know, if there's a big opening in the SEC, it's going to be hard to imagine that Tom Herman's not coaching at one of them. I'm going out on a limb with Texas this year, though. Texas seems like the obvious favorite for Herman. I just think Texas is going to surprise everyone and have a good year. It's like I've been saying, what's getting overlooked with Texas is they actually have a good coach already, Charlie Strong. Like, if Texas did fire Charlie Strong and hire Tom Herman, then I don't know, there'd be a school in the SEC that might hire Charlie Strong. Heisman front runner a year from now. And all these running backs are going to be gone. Deshaun Watson's going to be gone. So, I mean, I guess, Ryan, that only leaves us with one possibility, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Sophomore Jacob Eason. Although, what are we reading about? What did Nick Chubb say about Elijah Holyfield? He looks like me?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to start talking about Jake Fromm.
Yeah, sure, Fromm. Fromm is a true freshman.
Jake Fromm pushes Jacob Eason a year,
right,
too.
And then, it becomes the Heisman favorite. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll go with that, too. Georgia will have the same problem at quarterback that Ohio State had last year. Let's do that as a story.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one.
All right. Well, actually, that'll be 2 years from now, though. Maybe not next year.
Are you accounting? Are you assuming that Trevor Lawrence is also here?
Yeah.
Eason, Fromm, and Lawrence.
Yeah. So Kirby's going to have the same deal that Urban Meyer had.
So Eason moves to tight end and or receiver?
I think Fromm sounds like a guy that might be able to play another position.
Okay.
Yeah, like Braxton Miller did. Okay. So let's go with that. That's our dominant storyline of 2018 is Georgia's quarterback derby is exactly what Ohio State went through last year.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's like it's another quarterback problem like Georgia has this year, but it's a good problem to have.
Right.
Yeah.
So yesterday we talked about your top four games in September.
And yours. Don't forget you.
I know. Yeah. But this is about you, though.
Oh, okay.
This is about
all right, you. Yeah.
Come on. You're the star of this show.
Sure.
Of those four games that you chose, which one would you go to? Or which one would you have to be there? And assuming that you actually want to go to the game and not sit on your couch.
Ryan, can you remind me the four games I picked? Because I don't remember.
So you picked Tennessee, Florida.
Right.
You picked Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Yes. Okay.
The other two were, there's two Stanford games.
Right. Okay.
Stanford USC and Stanford UCLA. And the fourth one was...
I honestly don't remember. Oh, I do. It was Florida State and Louisville.
Yes.
The game that I would want to go to, it's between Florida, Tennessee, and then Oklahoma and Ohio State.
Okay.
And I think I would go to Oklahoma and Ohio State. Here's why. Because Florida and Tennessee I could go to anytime because they do play every year.
Right.
But the thing about Oklahoma and Ohio State, and there's good and bad there. Like I said, the bad is the game really is meaningless. It's not completely meaningless, but it doesn't
eliminate them from playoff contention with a loss
right.
Either way.
The value of it's been diminished a little bit, that either one of those teams could lose that game and still be very much in contention to win the national championship. Their margin for error is decreased, but it's not like they've lost all hope. But the fact that those two programs, it's the third time they've ever played, it's just like an encyclopedia of college football history. They've had 12 combined Heisman winners. They're fourth and fifth in all-time winning percentage. I think they're fourth and fifth in national title. Ohio State's won 8 titles, and Oklahoma's won 7. So they're neck and neck with each other in the record books historically. And the fact that they're playing it on one of the two campuses, it's in Norman this year. I respect that. I honor that. And I will be there to watch Ohio State and Oklahoma. Yeah.
And a pretty good quarterback duel, too.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a Heisman showdown, Baker Mayfield and JT Barrett. That could be kind of like Fournette Henry last year.
Yeah.
Yep, so there you go. That's my pick.
Very nice. I want to start introducing this to the 5 at 5. We're going to go around division by division in the NFL, and we're going to name the top fantasy player on each team within the division.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to start today with the AFC South.
Okay.
So I want you to name the top fantasy player from each team within the AFC South.
All right, for the Indianapolis Colts, it is Andrew Luck. For the Tennessee Titans,
I think it's fairly obvious.
You do?
Yeah.
Who's it going to be?
I think it's Murray.
Think it's Murray? I was about to say.
They're going
to
run the ball a ton.
And he catches passes.
They're going to run the ball a ton. It's not going to be Marcus Mariota.
No.
I don't think it's any of the receivers.
I was thinking either Henry is a rookie or Murray. It was one of those two.
No, I don't think Henry is a rookie. I think you can, like you've said this numerous times, Murray pretty much averaged like an average number of carries the last 2 years because he had a ton 2 years ago in his final year in Dallas and then had very few last year in Philadelphia. So he should be healthy and up to speed. And Mike Mularkey has pretty much said, look, we're just going to – what was the phrase you used the other day?
The exotic smash mouth. That's what they called it when he was in Atlanta.
So, they're just going to pound the ball.
Yeah, and they had what was his name, Michael Turner?
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right with Murray. So I got Luck for the Colts, Murray. For Houston, it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins. And for who's the other team there?
Jacksonville.
I think Allen Robinson, their receiver, would be who I'd go with there.
And do you like any of those players?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd draft any one of them. DeAndre Hopkins I had last year.
DeAndre Hopkins is kind of an enigma to me because he's like ranked so high, but I just don't feel like he's not that upper echelon receiver.
But
I know he's pretty good though.
Yeah, he you know what they were the kings of last year, and he did it against the Falcons. You know, the Falcons are blowing them out, and then he had a bunch of garbage touchdowns and catches.
Oh, so he gets a lot. Okay.
Yeah, you know when they're just slinging it at the end. But didn't they sign a receiver though in the offseason, or did they draft one?
Well, they signed Lamar Miller. Who's not a receiver, obviously, but
yeah, because now because
last
Arian
year they
Foster
had Jalen Strong, who they drafted from Arizona State.
Yeah, I think last year when they got rid of Andre Johnson, it was
they drafted Braxton Miller.
Yeah, but I don't think that's who I was thinking of.
So their receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Braxton Miller, Will Fuller, Jalen Strong, Wendell Williams, Cecil Shorts.
Huh. Well, I don't. I was thinking they.
I don't think they had a big signing. I think Lamar Miller was the biggest.
Is that the biggest?
The I was offseason acquisition. Well, besides Osweiler, obviously.
Maybe it was Jalen Strong. I feel like Hopkins, while he'll still be the primary receiver, it won't be as obvious as it was last year in the wake of when they had Andre Johnson and lost him, and then clearly DeAndre Hopkins was going to get a bunch of catches. Now, if I was going to order those in order of 1 through 4, I mean, it depends, too, on if you're in a points per reception league. Let's just say you get a point per reception.
Okay.
So, for me, I guess I would say number one would be probably like Allen Robinson, I guess. And then DeMarco Murray, followed by DeAndre Hopkins, and then Andrew Luck.
Okay.
There you go. There's your AFC South fantasy breakdown.
Next week we'll get to the rest of – we'll continue on with
that. Yeah. And need I remind everyone out there that 2 years ago my fantasy football team went 11-1-1. And I won the championship. And last year, my fantasy football team was the highest scoring team in the league I played in. Somehow, though, I did not make the playoffs.
You didn't make the playoffs.
No.
So you were the team that was the highest scoring team, but then you played the player who had the highest score. Like, you were second highest most weeks.
Right. I would run into the other guy's best team or something, you know, best week.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, by the end of it, though, my team, I had accumulated the most points. But I didn't make the playoffs. And ordinarily, I would have been very angry about that. But since I was sitting on the championship from the year before, I just brushed it off.
And your draft's coming up, what, the 27th, 28th?
Yeah, like a week from Sunday. Yeah.
Then you have the third pick.
Third pick.
I found out last night I have the ninth pick in my draft.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking either Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, or Odell Beckham.
Okay.
Not really knowing who's going 1 and 2, but I'm going to be able to get one of those three, obviously. So
yes, you will.
There you go.
The final question for today's 5 at 5 brings us to Twitter again. Fortunately, at the beginning of the show when I did my questions, it was hashtag Ryan Lochte, but since then there's been something else that's trending on Twitter, which is much better.
Okay. Yeah, Lochtegate is starting to lose some steam now.
Hashtag my pet is my pal because.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my pet is my pal because.
What's your dog's name again?
Bodie.
Bodie, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, no matter what kind of a day you've had, you come home and a dog never has a bad day, right? It's just he's there to greet you. He's always happy to see you. And that's why.
It's unconditional love.
It is.
And they don't speak back.
And sometimes he does.
Oh, he speaks back.
Oh, yeah.
He gets a little testy with you?
Yes. And he's up every morning at 7, whimpering, because he's ready to eat. I mean, like clockwork, same time.
Oh, see, my dad's dogs will get up at like 6 and he has to take them out to go walk, to go to the bathroom in the morning.
Yeah, well, I do. Yeah, I do that. We use the bathroom and then comes in and eats. But it's every morning. He's ready to go. Same time every morning.
So he's your alarm clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even have to set an alarm anymore. And then when the time changes, I guess in the fall, we might catch a break because... Or no, will he be earlier then?
Fall forward, spring back.
No. Isn't it fall back, spring forward?
Sure. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, at some like he's either going to be earlier or later. That's, you know, right around there before he readjusts and gets back to 7 a.m. But yeah, I mean, they just doesn't a dog never has a bad day. Always happy to see you. Never give you any lip. They're always there for you. So there you go.
Bodie.
Yeah. Bodie's the man. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.